Accession number 16738, Reel 1.
Gordon Selby, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Swindon, Wiltshire.
Which year was this?
1919.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a farrier, and my grandfather before him was a farrier too. They had their own business in Swindon, in the days of horse-drawn traffic, of course. They carried on in that business until the mid-1920s, when business started to drop off. My father looked elsewhere for work and moved from Swindon to London. I spent, I suppose, another 5 years of my life in London up till about 1930, when we moved again, this time to Oxford. I went to school in Oxford, to the City of Oxford High School, until 1934, when again my father moved back to London and I went to stay with my grandmother back in Swindon. And I went to school there for the last year of my schooling at Swindon College. I got my school certificate there and joined the Navy from there.
Which year did you join the Navy?
1935, on the 15th of August 1935.
Whereabouts were you trained at first?
That's HMS St. Vincent here in Gosport.
And what did you think of the training that you received?
Oh, I enjoyed every bit of it, except the first two or three weeks, of course, when I was getting used to what the Navy required of me. Fortunately, I was pretty good at sport, cricket, football, and hockey. And so life was very pleasant in boys' training in those days, as it was in most parts of the Navy, if you could play sport fairly well.
How were you treated by those in charge?
That's a difficult question to answer, really, but I think the training we received was fairly tough, but it was fair and quite enjoyable.
When did you first go to sea?
I first went to sea at the end of 1936. After I'd finished my boys' training in St. Vincent, I was drafted to Chatham Barracks. That would be about September 1936. And from there I went to the battleship Ramillies, which at that time was at Sheerness. I stayed in Ramillies for about 3 to 4 months, which was probably my worst 3 or 4 months in the Navy. I never did find my way around the battleship. And in early 1937, we went with the Home Fleet on the spring cruise to the Mediterranean. And volunteers were asked then to join the Mediterranean fleet. I volunteered and was sent to a cruiser, HMS Galatea, and that was a most enjoyable time I had there.
Why was the Ramillies not pleasant?
I think it was because it was a big ship, and with about 1,500 people on board, one never got to know people very well. And the boys' training on board was fairly tough. And there wasn't much opportunity to get ashore. And even if we had got ashore, there wasn't much money anyway.
And why was the Galatea so good?
Quite a different atmosphere. A smaller ship, less people on board, on there for a longer term, of course, got to know people and enjoyed every bit of it.
Were you in Galatea when war was declared?
No, I was in Galatea during the Spanish Civil War. I joined Galatea in March or April 1937, and left in April 1938. And we were based in Malta, but our job really was the preventative patrols around the Spanish coast while the Civil War was on.
Any memories of the Spanish Civil War?
Not a great deal. I saw one or two air raids, Barcelona, Valencia, but from a distance, of course, not actually in the harbour. Paid visits to Mallorca and went elsewhere in the Mediterranean as well, not entirely around Spain. And to a boy, of course, of my age, this was all very thrilling, seeing other places.
So which ship were you in when Chamberlain declared war?
When I left Galatea in early 37, I went back to Chatham Barracks and went to the gunnery school. By that time I was an ordinary seaman. Went to the gunnery school to do a three-month course to qualify as a seaman gunner. During that course, I was rated able seaman, and immediately on completion in August 37, I volunteered for submarines, and I actually joined submarines the same week that Chamberlain came back from Munich, September 1938.
What attracted you to the submarine service?
One word, money. It was, as an able seaman gunner, I was earning 3 shillings and 3 pence a day. On completion of my submarine training, that was increased by another 2 shillings, and when I joined my first submarine in February 39, another shilling was added. So altogether, I just about doubled my pay.
Were there any disadvantages that you felt?
None at all. None at all.
Can you describe the training that you had for submarines?
Yes, it's ordinary classroom training with a couple of days at sea in a submarine. Fairly basic. And most of the training, of course, comes after you join your first submarine.
Were there things that you found difficult to cope with?
No, not at all. I don't think I ever looked back after I joined submarines. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Had you thought at this time that a war was coming?
Not really. I suppose my mind was too occupied with other things. Naturally, we knew there was trouble, international trouble afoot, but I don't think we really thought about the war coming at all. When I joined, it was the time of the Munich crisis, and the boats were alongside here arming their torpedoes, etc., etc., but it didn't really register, not that I remember anyway, it didn't really register with me that there could be a war. Even in 1939, when war was declared, the possible effects of the war didn't really register. I think I was too young and carefree.
Can you tell me about your first submarine, please?
When I finished my training, first and foremost, I went over to the naval barracks in Portsmouth and passed for leading seaman. And I joined what was then known as Reserve Group A here in Dolphin, which consisted of 3 submarines. That was Oberon, Oxley and Otway. Oxley was in dockyard at the time doing a long refit. Oberon and Otway were alongside doing day training for submarine training classes. We had about one and a half crews to the 3 submarines, and we took one of the 2 running submarines to sea each week with training classes. And during that course, during the course of that time, of course, my knowledge of submarines grew very considerably.
And then?
Well, war broke out. Sorry, the reserve fleet was called up in June of that year, if my memory serves. Good, June or July of that year. And so the 2 running submarines were fully commissioned with complete crews. And I went to Oberon. Oberon stayed, or we went down to Portland for the fleet review, a reserve fleet review, and I imagine that would be about end of July or August 1939, and we were back here in Portsmouth, in Gosport rather, when war was actually declared in September 39. The following week we sailed, went up to Dundee, and we went on 1 patrol from Dundee, but Oberon was... She was seaworthy, but not very reliable mechanically, and so it was decided that Oberon should do a short docking in Grangemouth, and then we went down to Portland to work with the anti-submarine school in Portland at that time.
What are your memories of that 1 patrol?
Not very clear at all. It was just a patrol. Nothing exciting happened. Quite frankly, I can't remember a great deal about it. We went down to Portland, as I say, and we stayed in Portland until May, and we were sent to sea in May to cover the evacuation at Dunkirk. And from there, we came back into Portsmouth, and I left Oberon then to go to Whale Island to re-qualify in gunnery for a fortnight.
What exactly did the submarine do during the Dunkirk evacuation?
Nothing very much, except to remain dived all day and on the surface at night, just there in case. Nothing eventful happened at all.
In case the Germans...
In case the Germans came out there.
Had you by now regretted joining submarines, or
about it? Not at all. I was quite pleased about it. I enjoyed life in submarines altogether. By the time I left Oberon, I had been made a leading seaman. As I say, I went to Whale Island to re-qualify in gunnery, and from there I was sent to Harwich, a spare crew second coxswain. We lived on Parkston Quay, and I did two patrols from Harwich in H-44. This, of course, was during the 1940 invasion scare time, July and August. Again, nothing of any importance happened. Nothing startling, that's for sure. And from Harwich, I was drafted in September 1940 to Barrow-in-Furness, a standby upholder, as second coxswain. Now, that was quite exciting because it was the first time I'd ever been in a brand new submarine. We sailed from Barrow for our trials in October 1940, went up to the Clyde area to do our trials, did one shakedown patrol from there in the North Sea. Again, nothing happened. Came back to Portsmouth, and we sailed from Portsmouth on the 10th of December 1940 for the Mediterranean. We were given 4 or 5 days leave whilst we were in Portsmouth and before we sailed. I can remember my wife was living in Hertfordshire with her parents at that time. I can remember walking from Liverpool Street Station to Waterloo because there was no transport and there was an air raid on all the time. And I can't help thinking these days how stupid I was to take that sort of a risk to get back to go to sea for... or to go away overseas for about 18 months. We arrived in Gibraltar just before Christmas 1940 and stayed there till just after the new year 1941.
Who was the captain of that ship at the time?
That was Lieutenant Commander, who was Lieutenant at that time, Wanklin. He was made lieutenant. He was promoted lieutenant commander very shortly afterwards.
What was he like to sail under?
He was what I would classify as a gentleman. He was a delightful person in himself, and gave everyone a feeling of confidence in him. We were very fortunate, upholder, that all the crew except one were regular servicemen. We only had one hostilities only rating, a young ordinary seaman, and it stayed that way nearly all the time upholder was in commission. Officers, we had regular RN officers, all except one. Our navigator was an RNR, merchant navy man. The crew itself didn't change very much during the commission, but the officers changed quite considerably. In fact, only the captain was, remained of the original officers that commissioned Upholder.
What work did the boat start doing in the Mediterranean in 41?
We sailed from Gibraltar early in January 41 and arrived at Malta around about the first week in January, and we did our first patrol towards the end of January, and I think we certainly made two attacks during that first patrol. One was successful, one was unsuccessful. Our initiation into the Maltese bombing started straight away. When we arrived there, we were berthed astern of Illustrious on the 10th of January to do some degaussing, and she'd just arrived in and was subjected to a very heavy dive bombing attack during the afternoon, and of course we witnessed it all from about 50 yards away.
What exactly did you see?
I saw one bomb go into Illustrious and a lot dropping in the harbour. It was certainly my initiation into dive bombing at close range, as it were. And we saw plenty of it after that.
And your first time in action with this boat, what do you remember about the patrols in which you were actually engaged with the enemy for the first time?
I think the first one was a little bit exciting. You know, it's the first time, that certainly the first time that I'd been in that sort of action. It was our first initiation into being depth charged. I think that it's difficult to remember that. I can't remember anything outstanding about it, except that everyone was naturally calm. There was no real excitement. The captain was a very quiet sort of person. He never shouted, he never dashed around, etc. And I think that sort of set the pace for everyone else. We had plenty of experience of being depth charged after that, and I don't think anybody really bothered about it very much at all.
So these are the early weeks of 1941.
Yes.
What happened then?
Well, we just carried on patrolling from Malta. Patrols would last anything up to 14 days. Sometimes they only lasted a day or two. Well, when I say a day or two, I mean 3 or 4 days. We didn't have very far to go to get to our patrol billet. And it was a matter of diving the minute we got out of harbour. We used to go to sea in the evening, late evening, and we used to arrive back in harbour early morning, simply to so that we could remain dive for the maximum amount of time. On patrol, it was a matter of being dived all day and surfaced at night for charging batteries. You always expected to see something. I don't think there were very many patrols went where we didn't see anything. In fact, there was only one that I can remember when we had a completely quiet patrol.
Whereabouts would you normally go for these patrols?
Off North Africa or off Sicily, the southern part of Italy.
Were you having much success at this stage, do you think?
Oh, yes. Yes, we really started to have success from about April onwards. I think the first... We had two or three patrols where, to begin with, where the captain hadn't really got his eye in. But once he got his eye in, which would be about April or May, then we started having a great deal of success. And in fact, he finished up by being the top scoring Allied submarine commander, I suppose. He was awarded his VC for an attack we did in May. We sank a troop ship.
Does that stick out in your mind specifically?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That was quite a hectic one. It really was. We had, it's been fairly well recorded in print, but we had no ASDICs, and we only had two torpedoes left. We were just in the last couple of days of our patrol, and he sighted this convoy coming out from the Straits of Messina. And I suppose the three troop ships were escorted by half a dozen destroyers. And he attacked without any ASDICs to assist him. And sank Conte Rosso. That's what he was awarded his VC for.
What was your own personal job during that patrol?
I was second coxswain, and consequently, whilst dived, or my diving station, which is the equivalent of a surface ship's action station, was on the forward hydroplanes, depth keeping. And on the surface, my job would be as a lookout, forward lookout at night. The second coxswain of a submarine is responsible for the seamanship side of the submarine, the upper deck, or the duties that would normally fall to a chief bosun's mate on a surface ship. Anchors, cables, wires, ropes, painting ship.
To what extent were you aware that at the time that this was a rather special patrol?
Not at all. It was just another patrol, so far as we were concerned, purely by chance that we bumped into this particular convoy. We weren't sent out to meet this convoy. We were just on our patrol in our billet. And we'd already carried out a couple of attacks, and we only had two torpedoes left out of eight. That's why he could only fire two torpedoes at Conte Rosso. Fortunately, both hit. Fortunately for us, that is, of course. We were subjected to a fairly heavy depth charge attack afterwards from the destroyer escort. But then, of course, being a troop ship, they were heavily engaged also in rescuing people from the ship. So perhaps we didn't get it as heavily as we could have done. After that, what other incidents would there be? I suppose there's one occasion when we were instructed to go alongside a German transport that had beached itself off Sfax, and we went alongside in very shallow water, naturally, because she'd beached herself, so it was shallow. And set demolition charges on board, got out of that all right. On the same patrol, when we had no torpedoes left, we bumped into a convoy at night, and we fired star shell to get the convoy to turn back, which it did.
With the German transport, did you personally go aboard it?
I didn't, no. We had certain people detailed off as a boarding party. One officer, one petty officer, and three or four ratings.
What did they find on board?
Oh, she was fully laden. She had trucks and a whole lot of equipment on board. But she'd obviously, I think she'd been attacked by aircraft and had beached herself and been abandoned.
And the incident when you fired the star shell, any other details that stick out in your mind about it?
No, not really. Only the gun layer and I were brought up on the upper deck to man the gun. And I think we probably fired about four rounds of star shell, that was all. That's the only time I fired a gun in anger at all during the war. And the gun itself was only a 12-pounder gun. We had no gun access tower at all in the U-class submarines. So we had to go up over the conning tower, and it was at night. And of course, had we been caught on the surface, I suppose we would have been left up there. The submarine would have died and just left us there. But nothing like that happened. It was all done very quietly, very quickly, and we were gone and out of it. I believe we were successful. The captain was successful in his thinking that the convoy would turn back. It did turn back, and I think it was eventually caught by a force of cruisers and destroyers operating out of Malta. The next thing, I suppose, that sticks out of my mind was a patrol that we did. Well, it wasn't a patrol. We were sent out to waylay a convoy of troop ships. I suppose that would be September or October 1941. Four submarines were sent to sea in a hurry on information that had been received, and we were in a line of patrols several miles apart. The first submarine sighted the convoy but couldn't attack. We were next in line, and we got the message that the convoy was on its way. Again, we had no gyro compass on this particular time, and it was fairly rough. We sighted the convoy at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Certainly it was still very dark anyway. And I happened to be on the bridge on watch as lookout at the time. And our captain fired a full salvo by eye. As I say, we didn't have any gyro compass, and he didn't have time in which to carry out a proper attack. So he fired from the surface and hit two of the ships. One was badly damaged, and the other one was damaged. The one that was badly damaged was stopped, and we had time in which to dive, reload torpedoes. We went underneath the ship that had been hit and came up the other side and fired another salvo and sank it. That was the Oceania that we sank then, and Neptunia. The one which got away, there were three troop ships in the convoy. One which got away was Vulcania.
How conscious at the time were you of the success which you'd had?
Oh, by this time we were getting quite blasé about it, I suppose. It was, you know, hardly ever went out on patrol when we didn't fire all our torpedoes. So it was just an everyday occurrence as far as we were concerned. We were so blasé about it, so full of confidence, I suppose. We had a good captain, we had a good crew, we knew one another very intimately. We knew what to expect, and I don't think anything came as very much as a surprise.
To what extent would you go out on patrol thinking that it might be your last?
Not at all.